Welcome to Foreman & Wolf on Food & Wine. I'm Tony Foreman.
And Chef Cindy Wolf.
And this is part of our classic series. We're talking about Burgundy. Cindy, do you like Burgundy?
Very, very much. It's one of the most amazing regions in France. Love the food, love the wine,
so
and the people.
Talk for just a minute about, if you're a Frenchman, Burgundy versus, there's a perception that Burgundy is just a wine growing, like one little place that grows the famous whites and reds of the Côte d'Or.
Mm-hmm.
But is that, if you're a Frenchman, is that what it is? Is that what it is historically?
I think it's, you know, the fact that Burgundy was at one time separate from France, and the history, that it was a duchy, and, that the region extends all the way, at one time, extended all the way up to Switzerland and certainly to the southern part of France. You have to consider that aspect of the history and how that affected the culture. And it became a part of France in the 17th century.
Strong mm-hmm. farming area, right?
It really is. The farming is important to the culture, like in no other, in the most important way. Tremendous cheese production, lots of cattle being raised, lots of hogs. Mm-hmm. produce is huge in that region. So, I mean, it's
bigger. It's bigger than you think. It's kind of from way up near Chablis, to down, past Lyon. I mean, that,
It is a big region, yeah. And the impact of all of the land and its ability to grow these products on the food
and the diversity of that land,
right? And this has just really affected the culture. And Burgundy is the home of the most 3-starred restaurants in France. So I mean, it is just, there's a reason why all the 3-star, well, not all, but a lot of the great 3-star Michelin chefs are in Burgundy because of what they have available to them.
Maybe Cindy named 2 favorite 3-star restaurants in that area, because there's so many.
The George Blanc is near Bresse or in Bresse. And also you have, of course, Paul Bocuse in Lyon with many other. The Bras are in that region as well. A lot of the great chefs, Troisco brothers, the Greek grandson, I guess, still has a restaurant there. So, it's just an amazing region. And there's a reason why all those chefs are there, and it's because of them. Beautiful product.
The diversity of the product. It's kind mm-hmm. of where it's, I mean, Lyon is a huge trade crossroads. That's why, you have the east of Europe, you have the Mediterranean via the Rhone Valley, the Rhone Valley, and you have the north of France and the wealth of the north of France and Belgium and Switzerland. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, and you have all that great farmland.
Well, and isn't Beaune sort of the main hub for, taking the wine out? I think it sort of ships from Beaune, doesn't it? So Beaune has a tremendous, that town has
huge wine trade. I mean, that's what's funny is that people think of, one of the confusing things in wine is people think that Beaujolais is Burgundy, as far as like regionally, culinarily, Beaujolais, that region, is Burgundy.
Mm-hmm.
But the wine, it actually trades through Lyon and goes south.
Okay.
And it's built so differently, but that's, we can get into that when we get into the wine part of things. Let's spend a couple of minutes and talk about food. What are the important dishes? And I know we can spend forever on, because there are 50 important dishes. What are a couple of important dishes to you from the region? Things that, if you want to be an informed and practiced cook in cooking from Burgundy, what should you be able to execute at home?
Well, you have coq au vin and bœuf bourguignon. And one of the great rabbit dishes is with mustard, because of course Dijon is Dijon is a beautiful city and in the heart of Burgundy, and the history of mustard making is very, very important again. And there was a time where they used the verjuice to make the mustard in town, and I believe that now they use vinegar. But the mustard plants, of course, they would use black and yellow mustard seeds to make their mustards. So those are, that influence of the mustard being used in so many dishes with the rabbit in particular.
You're going to cook with it.
Exactly. And that's one of the things about old cooking, is you're going to use what's in your town, what's in your small little village. So some of these classic dishes where, with bœuf bourguignon and the coq au vin, you have sort of classic garnishes of crispy bacon or fatback or, lardon, whatever you want to call it, and mushrooms and small onions and usually some sort of crouton, maybe a brioche toast or something like that, or something, a crouton made from bread left over from the day before, baguette or whatever. But, these dishes and also, of course, magret with black currants, because there are so many black currants growing there. Cassis, of course, is made in Burgundy. And
Cassis de Dijon is usually considered the best cassis.
Mm-hmm. And what cassis is the black currants, and is it wine that's in it, or what is the
usually neutral spirit?
Okay.
I mean, honestly, it's grappa.
Okay.
If you're an Italian, but you know, it's called Marc, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a distilled spirit from grapes.
Well, and one of the other things about the region, of course, are the cheeses. So not only are you the Charolais cattle and all these, we've already talked about some of these agricultural products and these classic dishes that you're used to from the region, but also, Citeau and Époisse are famous cheeses from Burgundy that are very, very old and have been made by monks for many centuries.
L'Ami de Chambertin and Avdelis and Macon and Rondel.
And Loret. So, just a lot of washed rind cheese. Well, and also with the Époisse being washed with the Marc. Again, you have this wonderful convergence
using,
of wine.
Using the
product. Right, wine. And you think about the terroir of that region, and it's really all about not just the land, but that, terroir to me, almost in that region, also speaks so much of the culture. We always think of land when we say,
It's the conditions. When you talk about terroir with wine, it's not just what soil is something grown in. It's the soil, it's the situation, it's the drainage, it's the exposure. And if it's, there is a terroir that develops a table in a particular region that develops certain dishes, and that means the conditions that you're actually developing those recipes in, what products available to you, what's built into the culture, So maybe I think that the world is full of recipes for Boeuf Bourguignon and for Coq au Vin. Lapin au moutard, the rabbit. Now, talk through if someone wants to make that. And that's a dish really more for white wines from Burgundy than red wines from Burgundy.
There are a couple of different ways to make it. And I was in a pretty old book looking and talking about taking the rabbit legs and marinating it the day before in white wine with herbs. I just think that sounds so beautiful. And
well, the legs have good flavor. The danger is...
There's no fat.
Cooking rabbits a little bit like cooking a bird or a chicken, because not everyone's eaten rabbit. Rabbit is pretty delicate flavor.
It really is. It's very pretty, very almost sweet in tone. It's delicate. Rabbit is very delicate, so you don't want to do anything to overpower the flavor of the rabbit. And if you put, say, bay leaf and thyme and a little bit of peppercorns in the white wine to marinate it, marinate the legs for 24 hours. And as we were just about to talk about as well, rabbit is very lean, so you have to think about fat somehow. And I love this recipe because what it requires you to do is to take a great Dijon mustard. And, the Dijon is a smooth mustard. Traditionally, mustard, the grain was left in, so the seed was left in, and it really, really had a texture. With a Dijon, it's much smoother and easier to coat something. This is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. So you're going to coat the leg of the rabbit with the Dijon. You're going to season it first, and you're going to wrap it in bacon, and then just roast it in the oven, basically. You could actually put some stock. You could go a moist...
Kind of a slow oven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say 300 degrees. You can make a decision. You could either roast it in the oven, and this is really actually what I would do. Put a little bit of stock in if you had some chicken stock and a little bit more white wine and maybe float a little bit of butter in there and just kind of roast it in that moist environment. So you're basically in a big casserole dish where you have sides on your on your dish and you lay the rabbit legs in, and those things are going to intermingle, and some of that juice obviously will come out of the rabbit, and you can make a great sauce from that.
So just like when you roast a chicken, you probably want to pull it every 10-15 minutes, baste it a little bit with the fat and the juice.
And you're not immersed in liquid. I mean, it's just enough to basically cover the bottom of the pan.
Which is why you want to baste it.
Exactly. And as that begins to evaporate, it's going to become more intense in flavor. And rabbits don't take that long to cook. I would say with legs, probably, maybe 25 minutes. But you do want them to be cooked all the way through, yet still moist. So I would just, kind of feel the leg, make sure that it feels firm. You could always, insert a little knife into it and see if the juices are clear. But then take the rabbits out of that pan, and you can either choose to eat that bacon or discard it. You may not like the looks of it because it's going to be kind of moist.
It usually gave up all of its flavor, and it's kind of wiggly. It's not the nicest thing to eat.
What you could do is rewrap it in bacon and give it a little broil and get some crispiness to the bacon. Now, that would be, I think, very desirable. But let's say you choose not to use the bacon at this point. Unwrap it. I would just rub it with a little bit more mustard and put it back in for a moment to keep it hot while you make your sauce, which is to strain that pan put it into a pot, get it on the stove, reduce it down almost all the way, and just finish with cream and season it with salt and maybe freshly ground black pepper and make this beautiful mustard sauce that has a hint of bacon and a little bit of wine in it.
Yeah, the French grandmother in me wants to put a little bit of breadcrumb on the legs when you go to put them back in the oven and brown them, get them
nice.
A little bit crispy, crunchy.
Yeah, that is nice.
And have that with your rich sauce.
And I think we've talked ourselves into losing that original bacon completely, and I think that's the right way to go.
Well, when you use bacon like that in a dish, you're using it for its flavor and for its fat. It's already done its job.
Mm-hmm.
You're not using it for that wiggly texture.
Right, and one of the other kind of old world ways of cooking, because they used to cook in fires. Either in the ember of the fire or over a fire, would be to wrap quail in grape leaves. And I just love that idea because I think the quail, you know, just keeping that bit of moisture in and roasting the quail in the oven in the grape leaves and kind of, again, walking in the footsteps of something that's really an old way of cooking.
Now, quail are pretty different from rabbits, look awfully different from a chicken, but flavor-wise, they're really not enormously different. It's just leaner, and
right.
You have to deal with the fact that it has a delicate flavor and it's lean.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can end up with the stringy, shredded, meaningless, you know, white meat sort of situation. Quail are very different. Quail is a red meat bird, more like a duck,
mm-hmm.
or a pigeon,
mm-hmm.
and much stronger flavor.
And you do not want to overcook it. I mean, with quail, you really want to go to medium. It needs to be moist. Again, it's lean, so you want it to be moist. And if you cook it to medium where it's just pink in the center, that's perfect. If you go well done, it's going to taste a little livery, which is what we don't like about some of these, you know, if venison or some of these things that we think have a little bit more of an exotic flavor. When you go to cook it well done, you're really kind of ruining the flavor of the bird or the meat. So, you know, with the grape leaves, I think that's very old-fashioned, but it might be fun to try. And if you're not into that, I would simply grill the quail. I would marinate it in good corn oil, a little bit of fresh rosemary or thyme, or maybe even go towards some spices. This certainly isn't very French, but maybe a tiny bit of curry. But I love curry with quail. It's just
it can handle handle the aromatics.
It certainly can. A little salt and pepper and grill them.
If you want to be bourguignon about it, I do think you probably could do a mustard marinade with the whole grains.
That would be great.
And have some fun with that.
Yeah, definitely.
With quail, if you're going to grill the quail, mm-hmm. you can't really grill it as a little bird, as a nugget, like you would think of roasting a turkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to bone it out partially, right?
Yes, the rib cage needs to be removed, and you can buy them like that. So that's what I would actually look for. If it was particularly the first time I ever cooked a quail, I would ask for them from the butcher with the rib cage removed. Actually, I don't think I've ever seen them in a store with the rib cage in. Of course, we can buy them that way, and we buy them from our farmers that way. If you can find them that way, they're really quite delicious. I would just roast them in the oven and not even try to grill them. But
pretty fun to stuff.
Yes, they are. Well, for sure. I mean,
because they'll give a lot of flavor to the stuffing.
Yes, so. And I love cornbread stuffing inside of a quail. So that's a great, you know, we have cornbread every day that we can utilize in a stuffing. So that's a great use. And, you know, I think one of the other great things are snails. To talk about.
When we come back, we'll talk about snails, escargot, mm-hmm. and Burgundian preparations, a Burgundian product, and begin to get into probably one or two more recipes and then the wines of Burgundy. When we come back on A Formidable Wolf on Food and Wine.